Good morning, and welcome to this morning's broadcast. Appreciate you being here. Now, you may see a different face this morning. My name is Steve Gottberg here at Grace Bible Church in Montgomery. For those of you that may not be aware on the television broadcast, Brother Barry, who's been just one of my best friends for 28 years, passed away in September of 2010. The local church here has called me to come and do my best to replace Brother Barry. I'd like you to know that Brother Barry and I, again, 28 years ago, we were saved within a month of each other. We're actually a week age difference. Our wives knew each other before Brother Barry and I did. And we actually both got married in 1983. Brother Barry and I got saved in 1983, a month apart. We went to Brother Moore's and Brother Lockhart's academy 27 years ago together for a week, and he went on to pastor this church. So just know that he and I have similar beliefs doctrinally. We were taught by the same men, primarily Brother E.C. Moore, Brother Jerry Lockhart. So it obviously is with very sad news if you have not heard that before. But just in case you haven't seen some of the other broadcasts where we've talked in more detail about that, just wanted to give you that or start this morning with that. On that note, if you would turn in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Great morning to study the Bible. Every morning's a great morning to study the Bible. Now, as we are taping this, it's actually a week before Easter. So part of this kind of is related to that, but of course this may get aired at different times. That's okay. Okay, because the message does not change. Okay, so, you know, of course, just keep your hand there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because next week is Easter, let's make sure we start with the gospel of Christ this morning in 1 Corinthians 15. You know, the gospel of our salvation. You know, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And here's the gospel. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12, and that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Okay, there is the gospel of our salvation. And you say, well, okay, you know, I've heard the death, burial, and resurrection. No. The key is right here in the towards the end of verse 3. It's that he died for our sins. I'd encourage you, get a pen out, underline those three words, for our sins. Okay? And that he was buried, and then he was raised again for our justification the third day, according to the Scriptures. Okay? That's the key. And that's different than what had been preached prior to this. Now again, for those of you that maybe joining us for the first time on the broadcast, you know, we always talk about three kind of guiding principles as we study the Word here. Number one, you know, what do you believe and why? I mean, come on now. Why do you believe the things that you say you believe? It better be grounded right here in this King James Bible. Okay? Don't believe something just because, you know, Granddaddy taught me this and Grandma taught me this and my mother taught me that, and father taught me. No, that doesn't work. Or my preacher taught me. That doesn't work. Principle or point two is in Acts 17, we won't turn there right now. Paul talks about the Bereans, or excuse me, not Paul. Acts 17, the Bible tells us that the Bereans were considered more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the Scriptures daily to test those things, whether they were so or not. Okay, you should do the same thing. Whatever you hear taught, preached, search the Scriptures to make sure this Bible says that. Okay? And then the third principle is to take it in context. Okay? Sometimes we read a little statement about that, but you've got to know, to whom is it written? You know, who wrote it? To whom are they writing? And really watch, by the way, the beginning of some books, it say, you know, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, or Paul to the Gentiles. Okay, there's a big difference there. All right, and then that last principle that we really study the Bible by, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yes, we are taught to divide this word. You see, there are about 88 pages here that are written to us. The whole Bible's for us. All Scripture is profitable, right? For doctrine, for reproof. Okay, but only 88 pages are written to us the church, which is the body of Christ. With that being said, I ask you to keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 2. Let me flip there and let's go. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's it. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. Okay? Verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And I'm going to stop right there for just a second and just ask you, especially those of you that maybe are more accustomed to TV preachers and you know, maybe you cannot get out, so you watch from television. The men you're watching, you know, are they fancy words? Are they there for a show to motivate you? Or are they actually teaching you the Word of God, like it says right there at the end, but in the end of verse 5? Okay, let's just read all of verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Where is the power? The power of God is in this Word. Amen? Okay, so really, watch that. Okay, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Perfect doctrinally, okay? Among them, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Wow. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now watch this verse. Again, next week being Easter. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That is an unbelievable verse if you'll really, really take a look at that. Let's read verse 8 again. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, what would have happened if they didn't crucify Him? We would not have salvation today, would we? Okay, well, you say, well, you know, and that's one of the things that we talk about, we being grace believers here, that Paul had a different gospel. By the way, tune in next week because we'll be talking a little bit more about the difference between Paul's gospel and the gospel that Peter preached. Okay? And if I may, television minister, I'm kind of talking to the church here, just some of you may see, I'm talking to the camera more today because we are taping for the television ministry. Okay, so let's take a look at that. With that in mind, Paul preached a different gospel. See, Paul's, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15, he died for our sins. He had to die because he was paying the penalty for our sins. Praise God, he died on that cross for us. You know, next week being Easter, I'm just wondering how many people have seen Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion. And it does give an unbelievable portrayal of just the horrific death our Lord and Savior experienced. That's one part the movie did do correctly. Because it was a horrific death. But praise God, because when He shed His blood for to pay the penalty for our sins. Now, you say, well, wait a minute. Peter and the 12, they preach the same thing. Well, did they? Okay, so before I move to a few things there, let's just set up a little timeline here. Okay, so, you know, at some point in time, I'm just going to make this X, the birth of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, as we all know, at 33, He was put on that cross. And as the Bible said, He died on that cross for our sins. Okay, He was buried. He rose again the third day for our justification. Okay, and then time goes on. So you have a period here of 33 and a half years. The life of Christ on earth. Now there are some books in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of course, that talk about that 33 and a half year period. Now, what you need to really read and understand when you are reading those scriptures, really look in there and see, again, the context. Because at the end of the day, that really, those four books are the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ to 12 men. 12 men. But yet, so many, and of course this time of year is the number one time when people go to church, okay, most assemblies today will be looking at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John for their doctrine today. Well, did they know that Christ died for their sins? Let's take a look at a few things here. Go to Matthew. If you will, turn in your book, in your Bible to Matthew. Chapter 16. And in Matthew chapter 16, there's actually two parts of this passage I want to read. We're going to start in verse 13, Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they, now who's they? Again, you look at it, the 12. And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And who answered? Simon Peter. Okay? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, unto who? Peter. "Blessed art thou, Simon of Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." This rock being, if you look up ahead, or look before verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the rock right there. So upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now watch verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou," thou is singular. That's one of the things in this King James Bible. These and thou's are singular. So when He says, "And I give to you," what did He mean? You one person or you the group? He tells you right here, "And I give to," "and whatsoever thou shalt bind," thou Peter, "shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven." Do you think He was giving Peter some serious power here and authority? Okay, this is where Peter has his authority. Watch the very next verse. Then charged He His disciples that they should tell no man that He was Jesus the Christ. Wow. That's a little different than what most of us believe, isn't it? Well, let's keep going here, okay? Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples. Okay, take the context here. Who is He showing? Unto His disciples. How that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and said, "Praise you, Lord. You're going to go die on that cross for our sins. Can we lead the way?" Oh, your Bible doesn't say that, does it? Didn't they know he was going to die for their sins, pay the penalty? No, and we're all the way in Matthew 16 here. There's been a lot of teaching going on. Well, how can the gospel of our salvation, how that Christ died for our sins, have been known at this time? At this time, while Christ was on earth. Things that are different are not the same. Then Peter, so verse 22, let's read the actual words here. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine Peter rebuking the Lord Jesus Christ? He got a little cocky when he just got all that authority, didn't he? Wow. He began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Wait a minute, I thought the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. Well, as we know, he did. But here again, just a little time period before, here's Peter rebuking him. "Not so, Lord." Now watch, right along, if that wasn't enough for you, let's watch how the Lord Jesus Christ responds to this. "But he turned," he Christ, "turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me." What's that next word in your Bibles? Let the word do the talking. Satan. "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Okay, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Okay, you see how he just rebuked Peter right there? Now I ask you, could Peter have known at that time, just not long at all, but just a short time period before the crucifixion, that Christ was going to die for their sins? It sure doesn't agree with that, does it? Peter was saying, "Not so, Lord. This shall not be." And then the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Well, if that's true, what about all the stuff before this in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? They correspond pretty closely. Okay, come over to Matthew chapter 20. And let's start in verse 17 here. Okay, and Jesus going up to Jerusalem took the 12 disciples. Watch who he took now. He took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." Okay, he's telling them, but they still don't understand. Go to Mark chapter 9. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are lost. Okay, Mark chapter 9. Let's start over here in verse 30. Okay, "And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples," who's he teaching? His disciples, "and said unto them," pardon me, "and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day." Here he is telling them again. Verse 32. "But they understood not that saying," and were afraid to ask him. Okay? I'm so sorry. Just got a throat going this morning. Okay? End of verse 31. "And they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him." Here again, another passage. They don't understand what's going on here. The Lord Jesus Christ keeps telling them. Okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Where we read verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you understand? It had to be hid in scriptures. Why? Because as it said right there, the princes of this world would not have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if he wasn't crucified, would we have salvation today? Certainly not by the gospel of Christ. Certainly not by 1 Corinthians 15, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Rose for our justification. You see right here in verse 7, he calls it a mystery. Wow. You know, let's flip back just probably a page. Romans chapter 16. Romans and Ephesians, I can tell you, are two of my favorite books in the Bible. Are my favorite two books in the Bible. Romans just happens to be the first book that appears in your Bible that was written by the Apostle Paul. It was not the first one he wrote. Matter of fact, next week when you come in, we'll be studying out of Galatians, the first book that Paul wrote, that many consider to be the first book that Paul wrote. Okay, Romans is the first one that comes right after Acts, the first one that appears in our Bible. It's the first time you see justification by faith. First time you see the grace of God preached. Okay, Romans chapter 16, the very end of it. The last three verses here. Right after he signs off in verse 24 even. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. But then he writes three more verses. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, Paul calls this. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. There's that word again. Mystery. Well, he goes on to explain it. Which was kept secret since the world began. Okay? But now, and always watch that too in this King James Bible. But now. You know, maybe you're talking to your kids at home. You know, well, okay, this is the way we've been doing things. But now means things change, doesn't it? From this day forward, from this point in time forward, but now. Okay? Verse 26, but now is made manifest, but now is made known, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Okay? The gospel was a mystery hidden in scriptures. Okay? You're saying, wait a minute, it was prophesied how many hundreds of times that Jesus Christ would die on the cross. Amen, it sure was. Is it any secret? Back here in Old Testament Scripture, you know, if we had put the timeline back here, that Christ was going to die on the cross? No, it was prophesied over and over and over again. Again, one of the things that just proves that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. It's amazing all those prophecies, and every single one of them came true. Study that out. Okay? So the fact he was going to die was not a mystery. The fact that he would die for our sins. That's what the mystery is. That's what this mystery was. And again, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, why was it hid in scriptures? Because had the princes of this world known at this time, they wouldn't have crucified him. Then he could not have paid the penalty for our sins. Romans, so while we're here in Romans, let's go to chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, go back to Romans chapter 3. And we're even going to go to 5 right after that. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, there's that but now again. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Here's us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Verse 28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. All up until this time period, the deeds of the law were part of what these people had to do for remission of sins. The perfect lamb, the sacrificial lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood. What did it say there? Faith in His blood. Why does it say it that way? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins. The Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sins about 2,000 years ago when He hung on that cross. Okay, if we put our faith in that and that alone, that is how we have our salvation. And when you have that, and when you understand that works have no part in your salvation, now claim Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you thought works had anything to do with your salvation, how in the world would you sleep at night? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us, right? Okay? But we can have peace with God because we are justified by faith. The Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Won't you trust Him?